This is Alive with Joseph.
All right, let's do some work. Thank you. In the service, I want to teach again, very, very briefly. Okay. Amen. Turn your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to read two verses of scripture. These scriptures that I'm going to read is very important. By the way, how many of you are in the first service, a second service, and you're here? All right. Okay. Some people are waited behind. Good stuff. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 in the King James translation. Wherefore, seeing we are so encompassed about a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. So a weight is not a sin, because it talks about sin in the next thing. And the sin which so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking. This is how you put the weight aside. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You must understand, you hear it in the teaching, the joy that was set before him was you. Ah. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, breathe upon your word. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to speak on the subject, Jesus, my Jubilee. The burden that I carry, and I am trying to go a bit slow because, like I said in the second service, I kind of had this migraine most of the night and then kept a burden on my heart. So pray for me as I speak with you. So the burden of my heart is to show us a revelatory perspective of who Jesus is. Maybe I may not get to it because of the brevity of time that I have, but I'm going to carry us on a journey to be able to explain your identity of who you are, because I feel very strongly that one of the reasons why the church has not gathered itself and enjoyed everything that God has is because we pray subservient of the nature that God has for us. If we understood what we have, it becomes easy for you to navigate the corridors of life to access the ascensions God has for you. It doesn't matter where you live, where you stay. It doesn't matter who that person is. I remember many years back when I was still pastoring here in South Africa, I went to, informal settlements, that's it. And so I went to this informal settlement. We went to adopt a school there, all 1,000 of the children. So I was buying brand new school shoes for all the children in that school once every 2 years. But there was a gentleman that caught my attention. He was a police officer who lived in that informal settlement. And then while I was looking at it, it was quite interesting to me, because when he wore his uniform, there was something different about him than when he wasn't wearing his uniform. When he wore his uniform, there was an aura of authority that he carried. That it did not matter that he was living in an informal settlement. If he stood on the road and he said, stop, you obeyed him, not because of who he was, but what he carried. So whatever happens is that we are now being identified by the garment that we wear. Maybe, just maybe, the reason why Satan is toying with you is that you're not aware that you carry a badge of authority. Are you hearing me here? And I want to help us navigate that in the scriptures today so that we can understand and fully embrace. Look, when I come here next time, when was the last time I was here? 2023. Can I ask Pastor to please bring me every year? Is that okay there? How many of you want me to come back again next year? Pastor, I didn't say it all. It's called Marketing 101. You sell yourself very quickly. And it becomes quite interesting as we go through the scriptures to understand that Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 encapsulates God's agenda for humanity. The agenda of God is to create, please follow me carefully, the agenda of God was to create a species that had the full capacity to reflect him. In other words, you are a carbon copy or a reflection of God. Our reflection of God was also to express the capacity to contain God in us. I used to think, please follow me carefully, I used to think that it was impossible to have the capacity of God within us in his fullness until I began to see the things I'm about to show you now. And I realized, ladies and gentlemen, write this down, that the summation of our reflection in God is called dominion. The summation of our reflection in God is called dominion. All that God has for us on the earth is captured in the mandate. What was the mandate? Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. Let me show it to you very quickly. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. If you can follow that mandate, if you can understand this thing that I'm about to show you, you will walk in the fullness of everything that God has for you. Write this down. If we can contain God, if we can reflect God, we can advance the kingdom on earth. Our containing of God and our reflection of God will cause us to advance the kingdom on earth. Our task, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, is to ensure that the invincible realities in the heavens will become tangible on the earth when we understand that we are carriers of the capacity of God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, in fact, go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Go to verse 1, let me begin there and extract the truth. The Bible says, in the beginning, this was not the only beginnings, because in scriptures, you will see many places where it talks about beginnings. This is one of the very many beginnings of beginnings that the Spirit of the Lord will have us understand. So it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. The word God there in the Hebrew tongue is the word Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew tongue will say, in the beginning, Elohim bereshit barach Elohim. Is the Hebrew tongue for that word. In other words, God was in concert with himself. God was the entertained and he was also the entertainer. So God was pleasing himself with creation. But God does not just please himself, because at this particular point in time, there was a civilization that took place. You must understand where I am coming from. God was simply stating in when he was creating man, that he was stating the strength, if man could carry the image, if man could bear the image and the righteous character of God, man was also going to exemplify God on the earth. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says the earth was without form and void. That can't be correct, because God does not create anything that is void. In other words, between Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, there was a civilization. What was that civilization? That civilization at that particular point in time was when the war happened in heaven and the angels, those princes of Zion, were sent crashing in towards the earth. When they came to the earth, there was chaos. The Bible says the earth was without form and void. The Greek word, the Hebrew word is tohu bohu, which means waste, corruption, and endless destruction. That can't be God. That can't be God. And the Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And when he says the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, how did he do it? He began the process of creation by releasing a sound. Please follow me carefully. When he released the sound, what was the sound? And God said, let there be light. If you were here in the second service, we tried to express what that light was. In other words, he wasn't talking about illuminous. He was not talking about this kind of light. He was saying that the light here means that let development begin. You can reconstruct anything when light comes upon you. I'm telling you, you can reconstruct the marriage. Stop fighting that man. Stop saying, oh, he cheats. Oh, he's done that. You can go back to the word of God that formed him in the first place. There is a reason why you married him or married her. Are you hearing me here? You can go back and make that sound again. Because this was what God was doing. He made that sound again. Let there be light. Why? Because the war that happened and those angels were dropped down had now caused chaos. If there is chaos in anything that you find yourself in, you have the key. The key is to create a sound. Please follow me carefully. And so the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And then God saw that the light was good. If you look from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, all the way to verse 25, you will see what in English language is called tautology. In other words, repetition of the same thing. If you are writing an exam and you repeated the way it is written in Genesis 1, you will fail. That repetition was, and what God saw, he said. And what he said, he saw. And what he saw, he said. You will find out all the way to verse 25. Why did God do that? The reason why God was putting that there for you and I to read is in verse 26. Put up verse 26. Watch this. And then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Look at verse 27. Interesting. It's coming. And so God created them, male and female, in the image he created them. Go to verse 28. And then God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply. So watch this. It would have been wicked of God to say man should have dominion and not show him how. Are you listening to me? It'd be wicked of God. Because how can you now tell man to have dominion? How was he going to have dominion? I now began to search in the scriptures. Where was it? Where is this thing? Because if I can find out, if God says to you, have dominion, then it means that there is a secret key that unlocks us to be able to walk in dominion anywhere we go. So I decided to check. I prayed to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost said, don't look any further. The answer was already there from verse 3 to verse 25. Where was the answer? The reason why God was saying, and what he saw, he said, the reason why it was repeated over was that that was how you were also going to have dominion. What you see, you say. Because if you haven't seen it, you can't say it. If you haven't seen Jubilee, you can't say Jubilee. Saying is not what you just utter out of your mouth. Saying is the God capacity within man. Oh, please, Pastor Muller, come. Yeah, let me show it to you. Because by the time I come here next year, this church will have no problems. Oh, I thought I would hear an amen there. When he created Adam, he was looking exactly at himself. You are a reflection of God. Oh, come on. You look exactly like God. Please follow me, and I'm going to hit that Jubilee spot in a moment. You look exactly. So when God created Adam, this was the reason why he also created Adam to look like himself. Because remember, when Lucifer rebelled in heaven, what was their sin? They wanted to be like God. You remember that scripture? They wanted to sit on the throne and be like him. That was their rebellion. And then God was going to punish the enemy by making man to be exactly what he was thinking. So when God created man, he did not create man as a subservient being. He created man with the highest... Oh, come on. Watch this. The Bible says he made man out of the dust of the earth. That word dust is the Hebrew word Adama, or Adam, or whatever you want to put it. But if you study closely, that word dust did not mean death or dirty things. Because that's religion now tells us that our flesh, we are dirty, is a lie. No. Satan has sold us that lie to believe so that we can be inferior before God and cry. That's not God's intention. God's intention was when he then recreated and reconstructed the earth, he needed a new vice regent that will rule the earth the same way he ruled the heavens. Please follow me carefully. So when he made man, he used the dust. Why did he use the dust? The dust represented the ecosystem of the earth, the gold he had put in the ground, the silver, the oil, the jasper, the onyx, the diamond. God took all those things in the earth and squeezed them together to make man. Can I explain it to you? That's why sometimes us human beings, if you look at our ladies, look at all our ladies here, extremely beautiful, they take time to redo themselves. They put on the lipstick. They put on the eyelashes. They put on this. They put on that. It was God. God, when he was creating man, he created man that the beauty of the outside, oh God, also was as strong as the spirit of the man that he created on the inside. That's why there is a craving for cosmetic. And then they say men don't do it. It's not true. Because we also groom ourselves. There is something about our physical body. It carries the very beauty of God. And so when God created Adam, watch this, and was now going to put the capacity into him, the Bible says he into Adam, correct? That breath was not wind that came out of our mouth. Please follow me carefully. Because if it was wind, you know, you go to some churches, look, please, I'm not here to come and disdain any other person's way of working with God. But sir, if I blow in the microphone and you fall down, that's not power. Please. Is it wrong if a pastor comes and they blow in the microphone and you fall down? Nothing wrong with it, but that's not power. Have you not seen how many people that fell down and still came back the same way they were? They were still broke. They were broke when they were standing, broke when they fell, and broke when they stood back up. Are you hearing me? Somebody here. But there is nothing wrong. Please don't go around and say, oh, Pastor Joseph brought this guy. And No. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not power. All right? And I don't know, black people, we have shoulder pads in what we do. So he blew in the microphone. 8 people, 10 people fell on the ground. I see him walking like this. All right, power of God. What's wrong with you, dude? What is power? Change. Which do you prefer? That I lay hands on you and you fell down, but I lay hands on you and $1 million is in your bank account. Which is better? A woman will marry a guy with $1 million any day, any time. Anyone that says, if they say you are a gold digger, you better start dancing. Why are you angry? If they call you a gold digger, you tell them, what do you want me to dig, dust? You should be happy that I saw gold in you that I want to dig, man. All the women said, amen. No, what's wrong with some of our men, Pastor Joseph? We have our men and the women, they're asking for too much money. Go and make some more money. Don't complain. Glory to God. Make some more money. You have some men now, they are saying 50-50 nonsense. That's a lazy man. If we find in a life church, you are telling your wife 50-50, we will flog you. Glory to God. I don't know how I got there in my message. Somebody's troubling me somewhere. If your wife wants Brazilian hair, ask her, which other one? Do you want Peruvian? Are you hearing me here? If your wife wants 2 shoes, buy 2 shoes, man. And then if you don't have money to buy, you just tell her, baby, manage this one now. Give me 2 months. I will enter my capacity in God to make sure I provide for you. Are you hearing me here? Can I preach to some men in this place? My God shall supply. How many needs? I said, how many needs? All my needs according to his riches. Not according to your pocket. So if I discover who I am, if I walk in that capacity, I can provide for you. Are you hearing me here? I prophesy to all the men in this place. Before this year is over, you will take your wife to Dubai. Take her to Dubai. Come on. Take her to Dubai. In fact, can I make an announcement here? We are going to be doing renewal of vows every 5 years. We marry you again. Somebody says, we go and pay lobola to your family. How many cows do you want? How many girls do you want? We are more than capable. I release that anointing on the man in this place. If you are a man, say, I receive it. Marry a poor man. And all the men said, amen. I don't know how I got into this part of my message. Glory to God. Can I tell you some truths about myself? This is the 5th year I travel preaching the gospel and I don't celebrate my wife's birthday. I don't know how many women can take that. Including my wife, she can't take it. But we have an agreement. How much would you take for me to go and preach? She gave me the amount in dollars. I walked and I gave her. If you call my wife now and say, why are you treating, your husband should be with you on your bed. They say, let him stay there. How did I get? And so when he created man, watch this. When he created man, the intention of God was that man will be a new regent on the earth. So you are now to do what God did in the heavens. So how did he put the capacity? Watch this. He now did this. Be fruitful. That was the breath. It was not a wind. It was words that were spoken. He said, be fruitful. The moment he said it, the capacity in man began to come alive. Remember, he was still dust. There was no blood in his body because they said the life of the flesh is the blood. But watch this. When he said, be fruitful, the glory now came into Adam. And he began, be fruitful, multiply. The word multiply there was did not mean have babies. That's not what it was saying there. The word multiply was that now have the capacity to create everything you see in the heavens. I'm going to show it to you in a moment. Have the capacity to do that. He said multiply, subdue the earth. And then one other one, four things. And then he spoke those words. When he spoke those words into Adam, glory came into him. In other words, Adam did not have blood on his inside. What Adam had on his inside was glory. Please watch this. When Jesus now died on the cross and then was returning man back to glory, he said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame? Why? He was now returning the glory to the earth. What we have been taught all the while is that the glory is a cloud. You know, when we come into church and the atmosphere is very strong, we said the glory is strong. I used to think like that until I now recognize that that was the enemy derailing our thoughts. So we now pursue after the glory. But the glory the scriptures was talking about was man. You are the fullness of the glory of God. When they look at you, you are not trying to get favor. You are favor. Oh, I don't know if you are ready for what I'm going to say. You are not trying to get healing. You are de-healed. When they are looking for money, they should look at you. I am money. Did you not hear what the scripture said? It said, many are the children of the barren woman. How can you be barren yet you have many children? Because there is something the world is not seeing. You're not hearing me here. You are that glory. Now, what happened was, when man fell, the glory departed from Adam. What does it mean that man fell? Man did not just fall down. What it meant was that man no longer had the capacity to function like God. So the glory left and became a cloud. Why did it become a cloud? It became a cloud looking for man that would take it back. So the only time man got that glory back, the capacity to be like God, was when Jesus came. So when Jesus now came and he died and he resurrected, what was the resurrection? The resurrection was to return man back to the original nature that he had in Adam. And that is why, watch this, those guys in the New Testament, when that glory now came, they were stoning Stephen, yet the guy didn't feel pain. You're not hearing me here. The Bible says that aprons and handkerchiefs were taken from the body of Paul to the sick. They didn't need Paul to come. They just waited. While Paul had gone inside to go and eat his dinner, he had washed his clothes and hanged it on the rail. They went and stole his clothes to go and put on the... Oh, come on. They took his clothes to put on the sick because those people recognized there is something about the glory that he carried, that anything he was wearing... Can I preach to someone here? There is something about the glory that you carry. You are not going to have jubilee. You are the jubilee. And you are not hearing me here. I came to announce is the gates are not going to break because you prayed. The gates are going to break because you came. Can I announce to somebody here? You will get back to your place of work tomorrow and they will recognize that a God is standing in our midst. Can I preach like I feel to somebody here? You will get back to your house. You're not hearing me here. It looks as if there is no food in the house, but you will stand in the place of your jubilee in glory. And the Bible says, my God shall supply. How many needs? By the time you get home, somebody will bring those groceries to your house. Oh, you're not hearing me say better. Amen. Because when God was creating man, he was supposed to look like God. So let's do this. So when God made Adam, he took Adam and now says, come to the earth. Watch. He now brought all the animals to Adam to see what name he would call them, not name them. To see what he would call them. Come, Adam. So, what God was doing here was, if the download of the Spirit was right, if that download was right, if it was working right, Adam was going to call those animals what God had called them. For whatever you bind on earth. So when, now watch, I don't have time to show you. 14 minutes, I don't have time. All the animals were brought out of water. Is there in Genesis 1? The lion, the rhino, the antelope, the giraffe, they came out of water. That's why when a woman is carrying a child, what's in the womb? So the baby's in water. Water is God's form of life. So in the New Testament, he now calls water the glory, or he calls water the Holy Spirit, or they say the water of the word. So the word is always water. But when the animals were called out of the water, God named them. To see that Adam was in sync with what the download of the Spirit was, God wanted to see that he would call them the name he named it. So when the elephant came, it was God who named it, but had not told Adam. The signal had to be right, because he now had the capacity of God. When he saw the elephant, Adam would look in the heavens. And when he passed, he said, elephant. When the situation is tough to enter, you go into the word of God to look for that word. Are you hearing me? When you look into that word, then you come back to that thing. You will call it what name God has called it. To show you that Adam now made a mistake was, when the woman was brought to Adam, he did not call her what God called her. He named her. When he named her, he altered the DNA of the woman. Because that was the only thing he did not call the way God called it. When God called her woman, is the old Hebrew word for helper. The word helper, remember he said our creator helper. The Hebrew word for woman is the same word you find in the book of Psalms, where it says, for God is a present help. When a woman comes into the life of a man, she becomes the helper. In other words, ladies that are married here, let me tell you what you do. Before your husband goes to work, get up from your bed and say, my husband, come, let me bless you. You put him on your bosom and you speak to the man in him. As you go, you will come back with the hunt of the forest. The reason, I don't want to go to that part because it might be too deep for now. The reason why some men go astray is because you women are not saying what you are supposed to say. For the woman sits at the gate and praises her husband. And when the word praise there is not trying to celebrate him. It is the declaration that when you go, you will have the capacity to bring what is needed in the home. Why? Because you are the help me. I wanted to be slow in this service, not because I was tired, but because the Lord said to me, you've got to show them how it works. And so every time the angels come, they stand at attention before you. They are waiting for your command. You're not hearing me here. They're waiting for your command. What is that command? Then I began to notice, if you look at the picture, let me not even go to the picture. If you look at Pastor Joseph very clearly, even in the struggles that they encounter on a human level, there is a position they take. That even though they don't tell you of those struggles, because the breath of God, the word of God is in them, they stand in a corner, whether it's in the room, on the mountain, or he's jogging, and then he will say, no, we will not allow this thing come into this space. And then they speak from the capacity as one that is the Jubilee. John chapter 8, but chapter 7. Out of your belly. So the overflow that you are looking for is actually you. I carry in me the house. I carry in me the car. I carry in me the children. Oh, can I? I don't know. Let me. They told me when my son was born, he busted out into all kinds of illness. I went to preach and my wife called and said, they have rushed him to the hospital. They have put all kinds of tubes on him. And I said, "Are you at the hospital?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Put the phone on his ears." And I stood from where I was and I said, "It's your father speaking. You arise from that bed of languishing." In 3 minutes, the boy called and started removing the tubes himself. My son is 26 and has not need to go to the hospital from that day to now. There is a capacity that you have until there is a realization that that's what you carry. How can another woman look at your husband? They looked at your husband because you permitted it. You go into the chambers and you recreate. No. For the man that I married is a man of God. He said, "He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I was the good thing he found." So the eyes that made him see the good thing cannot see a rotten thing. So I command your eyes to align. And then after some time, just when you are not expecting, the guy comes back. He says, "Hey, baby. I don't know what happened to me, but would you like a brand new car?" Are you hearing me here? They're saying, "Oh, that wife that I married, oh, she's the public bicycle." No, you agreed with what they said. He said, "Say you're not a confederacy with them that say confederacy." He said, "Neither fear their fear." The only reason you fear their fear is because you are saying exactly what they are saying. That's why the Bible says, "Let the weak say." But you are weak. But he says, "Say what? Let the poor say." That you are poor is not a license that God is not with you. You are poor, but you have not yet discovered that there is something you have to keep demanding. Keep saying. Oh, you are not hearing me here. When you say it, then all of a sudden there is an alignment within the forces of Zion and the forces of the heavens. They collide to make you become what you have said. You don't judge me by what you see. You judge me by the Spirit. So watch this. So when he created Adam, he brought Adam here, and he stood in the Polokwane part of the garden, and he wanted to get to the Johannesburg part of the garden. Watch this. There was no transport. There were no cars. It's how many hours from here to Johannesburg? 3 hours. How do you get to 3 hours in 1 minute? How? This is how you got there. The Bible says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is what?" So you are a product of your thoughts, not your circumstance. When they ask you, "How are you?" and you say, "Things are bad," it was not bad because things are bad. It was bad the moment you said it. Because the forces have to align with the God reflection that you carry. You are the twin of God. When they see you, they see God. You have to wake up to that reality. Listen, a young pastor told me a story. This pastor is a twin. He was going to travel to go and preach in some country in Europe. And then on the day of the traveling, he lost his passport. He can't find his passport. Then he had waited. He was getting late and he needed to go. He told his twin brother to give him his passport. His twin brother gave him the passport and then he went to the immigration in confidence. Because there is no way they can tell the difference between both twins. So the person took the passport. One, the twin who lost his passport was Peter. The one who had the passport is Paul. But when they looked at the image, have you seen those guys in customs or immigrations? They take your passport, they look at it, they look at you. What they were looking at was bearing the same image in the passport. It wasn't the same person, but it was the same image. You are built in that image. You are not hearing me yet. When the enemy is looking at you, I don't know if you have ever watched that film called The Lion King. You watch the film called The Lion King. There was a time Mufasa, he was looking, he was already hanging around other animals. But one day he went to the river, and when he saw his image, he now said, "Hold on a second. I don't look like all these other animals. What you look at is the word of God, is the mirror that returns your image to you." When you look in the image of the word of God, all you can see is jubilee. All you can see is favor. All you can see is increase. And then he came out and realized, "I can roar." That's what happened. When the immigration officer looked at the passport and looked at him, he passed him on. Hold on. Why is it important? Why I use that example? Because the word passport means pass a portal. Pass. Port. In other words, when you bear the image of God, you now have a right to pass every portal. Can I announce to you, this is the last day you ever be broke in your life? I thought I would hear a louder amen than that. It's the last day. In fact, if you are still broke, go back to the word of God. Look at your reflection and pass the portal. I came to prophesy to someone here. You are going from nothing to jubilee. Oh, I thought I would hear a louder amen than that. I said you are going from nothing to jubilee. This is about image. Sit down. I'll soon be done. I wasn't going to preach hard in this service. My first daughter went to Oral Roberts University at the age of 15. When I took her there, they thought she was going to high school. She was small, skinny. But when she was 3, I had spoken some definite words. And I kept that image with them. What words did I speak? At the age of 12, Jesus astounded the teachers of his time. They sat in the synagogue and heard me, and I told my daughter, at the age of 6, they're not hearing me here. They said, that child is a dullard, is a lie. If you agree with them, then it becomes that. You take that child. My daughter graduated first class, Oral Roberts University, at the age of 15. 15, she graduated first class, my youngest ever. They wanted to pay for her to do a master's. She said, I don't want to do a master's, that there's an image of wealth that I carry. So they pleaded with my wife to let her work in the place. They carved an office for a 19-year-old girl when she graduated. After working there for a year, she saw the image so clearly that she started her own brand consulting company at 20. Just before I came on this trip 3 months ago, she bought herself a brand new 2025 car. She told herself, that's what I need to ride. Today she's now doing, she's 21 now. She's now doing in an average of $25,000 to $40,000 a month, sitting down because an image was imprinted. You are not hearing me here. You will leave this place. You will keep telling yourself, I am the reflection of God. If God fails, then I can fail. If God never failed, it is impossible. Ma. You don't even have to buy new clothes to see God's glory. How do I know? They wore one cloth for 40 years. Maybe you don't understand what we're saying. Sorry, Pastor Mulder. Just give me. How old are you, Pastor Mulder? Just tell me.
55 years.
55. Let me explain what was happening. When Pastor Mulder was 1, they put a dress on him. A pair of shorts, a pair of t-shirts. They were in the wilderness. 40 years as he was growing, the dress was growing. They put baby shoe on his leg. As he grew, the baby shoe was, what you are looking for is also looking for you. Can I have 6 men come? 6 men come. I'm done. So watch this. Stand this way. Just move a little bit. And 3 of you also move. Facing each other. Please watch this. Can somebody move this pool? Because I'm done. I came to teach this and then we are going to rejoice. I'm telling you here, one day Pastor Joseph will be so upset because there will be nobody to heal. I thought I would hear an amen. You want me to prove it to you from the Bible? They came and said, is there any sick amongst you? Don't play yet. Watch. This man is favor. This man is breakthrough. This man is increase. This man is wealth. Amen. This man is health. What did you say?
Amen.
Receive it. This man is riches. These are the things that you have been asking for, praying for, but for some reason they don't get you. But this is me who is asking. So every step I take, you take a step closer. Move back a bit more. So when I take a step, you bring one step further. So this is me in Polokwane, seeking God, looking for God. But what I am looking for is also looking for me. The idea that God is not for me to go and meet that thing is that as I become, what am I? As I take a step to become more like him, as I take another step to become more like him. As I take another step to become more like him. When I become the fullness of him,
all these things that I'm looking for, they become me.
Go back.
It's not what we are praying about. It's about who I become. For in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. I don't know. You know, when I come to places like this, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited. Everybody's thinking for me, including Pastor Joseph. What would you like to eat? There are people that have no one to give them food. But here is a man where people are thinking. So if I tell them I want Nando's, they will bring Nando's, they will bring spoil, they will put it in plate, they will put it in. People are hurrying because I have become. When I become like him, my God shall supply. So operate in the Jubilee, you operate in the capacity of Jehovah Jireh. What is the meaning of the word Jehovah Jireh? Come on, say it out like, what is it? No, that's not what Jireh means. That's not even what it means. The word Jireh, according to the Hebrew tongue, when they are pronouncing it, the word Jireh means the one that meets the need before your need came. The house that you want to live in is already built. It's built in two places. Watch this. It's built out there or it's built in your spirit. You are not listening to me here in this place. I came to prophesy that what is looking for you, surely, as I become, as I take this one more time, surely, goodness and mercy shall do what? In fact, there is a point that you will become where you can't even go out. Don't allow me to pass. And as I'm trying to pass, because now I've become, it's now a competition, goodness and mercy. Everywhere I go, my struggle is not how I'm going to make it. My struggle is that goodness and mercy, they don't want me. I came to prophesy. Favor will follow you.
Amen.
Favor will fight with you.
Amen.
Increase will fight with you.
Amen.
I said breakthroughs will fight. Come on, somebody shout.
Why? Because Jesus is my Jubilee. Watch this. Watch this. Everybody stand. Watch this. Stand. Keep playing for me now. Play for me. When Mary found out that she was pregnant, how did you get pregnant and a man didn't touch you? How? Got pregnant. Then she remembered her Auntie Elizabeth. Please hear me. She remembered her Auntie Elizabeth. Okay, come. My daughter. Watch this. Then Elizabeth was now pregnant at old age. She wasn't in menopause. She was in menostop. It wasn't possible. But these things don't obey to the law of the flesh.
That's true.
There is a law in the spirit. Where you become like him. So he went to go and meet the only one person that was crazy like her, her Auntie Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John. But this is a setup of God. Watch this. The Bible says when Mary came and knocked on the door of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth opened and she said, Auntie, look, I'm pregnant. Elizabeth couldn't speak because the child in the womb of Elizabeth leaped for joy. Is that not what the Bible says? Let me tell you what it was telling you there. When they opened the door, John in the womb of Elizabeth saw who Jesus was. Stop, hold on. They've never seen eye to eye, but had seen him. Until you see this break. Look, listen. When he saw him, after he had explained, then Elizabeth encouraged Mary and said, go. So they left. Mary left. Then gave back to Jesus. John had not seen, we never read an account in the scriptures where it talked about John and Jesus meeting, playing as cousins. But the assignment of John was he came to the earth to point to Jesus, whom he had not seen. So every time this was happening, John would be baptizing people, thinking it was Jesus. Because he had never seen him in the flesh. So when people came to John to be baptized, he would throw them in the water and he would look at the heavens. There was nothing. He would throw them again and look at the heavens. It was nothing. When the appointed time came and Jesus appeared, Jesus didn't even announce who he was. It was that reflection that was now coming into play. Are you hearing me? It was that reflection. When Jesus now came, John looked and said, behold. Because of the capacity of the jubilee that you carry, you can look at a circumstance and say, who are that whole mountain? Before Zerubbabel, he had not seen who Jesus was, didn't recognize. But when he now came, he pointed. When he pointed, the heavens opened and agreed. I came in the stead of an apostle to say to this house, it was not by coincidence or by pastor's birthday that they said, let's hold a jubilee conference. We would have had a party. But God is saying, I should tell you, that this jubilee was a door opener. Hear me. From today, as you take that step, you are not hearing me here. The doors that was shut, as you take that step, listen, you will get to a point where you get to the door. Hold on. One time, I had not realized it, Pastor Cordelia. You see, sometimes it's good to be foolish so that God can use foolish things to astound you. So when I was coming to live in London for the first time, after I suffered in America for so long, in Nigeria for so long, then when I finally had the opportunity to get to London, as I was about to enter, there was a big, huge glass door, a big, huge one. And here am I from Africa, suffered all my life. And then, as I was walking towards that glass, as I got close, the door just opened, I ran back. I said, in case my ancestors are pursuing me. Village people. But that was the exit. As I got close, the door will open, I ran back. I later was told that there is a place you will get to in the circumference that your body will be attracting the magnet that opens the door. In other words, I didn't have to pray. It didn't matter where I came from. But because I am that image, that as I take that step towards it, the double door that was closed. Are you hearing me in this place? I prophesy to you, the double doors will open for you. I didn't have to do anything about it. I didn't have to pray. I didn't have to show a passport. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the sons of glory are coming. Now that the glory has been restored in you, what you were looking for. That is all Pastor Joseph and Pastor Cordelia have been trying to tell you. That's all. That if you recognize that Christ in me is the hope of glory. When you keep that in your mind, then the glory returns to you. Then you are the glory that the world is looking for. I've been in places, Pastor, where even poor people want to give me food. Poor people. A woman will walk up to me, you can see poverty on her, and she will take money and say, sir, can I give it to you? Are you hearing? Is glory returned? Glory. Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing. I told you this, that's why go and hear the message earlier. The church wants to buy a land. We are thinking of how much money we have. It's not about the money, it's that the Lord gave a favor unto them. I'm glory. I'm not looking for the glory. I'm a carrier of glory. Are you hearing me here? You would walk with that consciousness. This Jubilee was a door opener. Watch this. I didn't get to it in my message. After the Feast of the Tabernacles was the Feast of Pentecost. What was the Feast of the Tabernacles? That was where the blood was sprinkled on the lintel of the door. That's when the man gets saved. But 50 days after, 50 days, go and read your Bible, 50 days is when the Feast of the Pentecost came. What's the Feast of? When the Holy Spirit, the very glory, the creator of the universe, comes and rests on your inside. 50. Was so that, listen, this is not an ordinary celebration. That's why those of you that I said give into your pastor, I wasn't saying give because he needed money. I was saying because he was the symbol. Why is a symbol important? What God said to Moses, he said, you shall put up the brazen serpent. He said, put it on the sick. He said, they that look, they will be healed. When I come as a teaching priest. I didn't come to tell you telephone numbers. I came to bring you back to the place of glory.
That's it.
Do you know why God wants you to come back to that glory? I didn't get to it in the teaching in the morning. In Acts chapter 16, when the glory came, the Bible says there was an earthquake. The keeper of the prisons thought that they had escaped. Peter said, we are here. The prison doors were not open so that you could go out. The prison doors were open first so that you can gather all those that were in the prison. Put it up. Let me see if I'm correct. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. This was the reason why. And the keeper of the prison said, what must I do? The glory is here. Lift your hands. Salava.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.